But Abba Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can be here this morning. We thank you for your absolute grace. Lord, because if it wasn't for your grace, we wouldn't be here. And we thank you that you are such a graceful God. Lord, that you are the one who forgives our sins. And that we know, Father, that we can come pure before you. That you wash away our sins with the blood of Yeshua so that we can be pure. Father, I ask you to be with us this morning. I ask you that your Holy Spirit will be with every single person here. Lord, that you will touch our hearts this morning. And when this word is brought, Lord, that you will be with each one of us. And that word will be seed that is sown into our hearts so that we can allow that seed to grow. I ask you, Father, that you will take me out of the way and that you will speak through me, but that your word will be absolutely true. Thank you, Lord, that we can worship you. Thank you that we can come before you this morning and raise our hands, lift our hands up in the air and bring you glory because you deserve all the glory. And we thank you in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The theme for this morning is Mind the Gap. And I don't know if you've ever seen or have heard this phrase before, but if you look at the picture that I've got for you on there, there we go. Who has seen that before? Oh, a few of you have seen that before. Okay, do you know where that comes from? London Underground, that's right. It comes from the tube train system, which is called the London Underground, or in short, they just call it the tubes. And this phrase originated, and the reason why it originated there is because if you ever travel on the underground, you get to one of the train stations, and when the train arrives at the train station, you will see that the platform and the train, there's a little gap, sometimes a big gap, sometimes a small gap, but there's always a gap between the platform and the train itself. So what happens is, as the train comes into the train station, people are standing and waiting for the train. And normally what they do is they've got this fat red or yellow line that runs. It's about half a meter from the end of the platform. And you have to stand behind this line and wait for the train. Because what they say is that when you stand closer and you stand on the edge of the platform, when the train comes past, it might, you know, the velocity of some of the trains going past there, the wind might suck you into the tracks of the train. So every time that you arrive at a train station, before the doors open, you hear this voice and announces, and it says, "Mind the gap." And then you have to mind the gap. So you have to look at the gap and make sure that you step over the gap, because it could be very dangerous. It reminds you that there's a dangerous situation, and if you don't mind the gap, the chances are that you might slip into the gap, which could lead to you losing a limb or even you losing your life. So what are they doing? They are warning you against a very potential dangerous situation. Now, the problem with the train system and with the tube train system in the UK and England is that there's no way to fill that gap. That gap is always open. It always remains dangerous. And it always remains life-threatening. Now, the same applies to us as human beings. And every human being has the same situation. And we also have this gap or this hole or this void in our hearts. And it could be just as life-threatening and just as dangerous as that train system coming into the platform, or the train coming into the platform. You see, we as humans are always trying to fill this gap in our hearts with all sorts of things. And depending on what we fill it with, it could either be life-giving or it could be life-threatening to our lives. See, God even tells us that we must be wary of what we do with this gap in our hearts. And in Proverbs 4 verse 23, he says the following. It says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And there's a lot more meaning within that one phrase than what we just read there. Because what God is trying to do to tell us there is that the one thing that we've got to really protect is our hearts. And we're going to go into a little bit of detail to understand why is it that we have to protect our hearts so much. Because it becomes very important. Because from out of your heart flows all the issues of life. Now the word keep there is the Hebrew word notsar. And the word notsar actually means a couple of different things. It means the word keep, obviously. It also means to guard or to protect or to obey. And what is interesting about that is that if you change the wording and we read that verse again, it can say, guard thy heart with all diligence. Or it can tell us to protect our hearts with all diligence. And the other one that it does, it also says, obey your heart with all diligence. And the problem that we have sometimes is we obey the heart in the wrong condition. What we need to do is ensure that our hearts are in the right condition so that we can obey the correct condition of our hearts. Because if we obey the incorrect condition of our hearts, that could be a life-threatening situation to us. And you might not experience it on earth right now, but definitely when we leave this earth and we live, and we're supposed to live with God in eternity, you might be just finding yourself in another little place for eternity. And when we look at the rest of that verse, it says, for out of it are the issues of life. That word are, we can also replace with flow. And it says, for out of it flows the issue or the issues of life. And what does Jesus tell us? He says to us that out of us will flow rivers of living water. But that can only happen if our hearts are in the right conditions. So it is therefore important that we guard our hearts against the things that we are actually filling it with. Now, I brought something to help me with this, with the service this morning. Got stuck a little bit inside here, but it's okay. I've got my little, I don't know what you call that, little Tupperware. And I want to ask the kids, who can tell me what this is? What does it look like? A donut. Sounded like one of the older kids or a very young kid with a very rough voice. Maybe it's a cold this morning. Okay, it's a donut. And what can you see on this donut? What have we got on top of this donut? Icing. There we go. Lovely. And what's on top of the icing? Can anybody see it? Sprinkles, absolutely. We've got some sprinkles. They call it hundreds and thousands, I think, is the right word for it. So we've got a nice donut here this morning. And what do you see in the middle of the donut? There's a hole in it. So who can tell me, how do you make a donut? It's very simple. You take a standard hole and you put some dough around it and you've got a donut. Am I right? Okay. But you see, just like this donut, and just like there's a hole in that donut, we also have a hole in our hearts or in our souls that we continuously want to fill. Now what we can do is we can sugarcoat it or have icing on it, and we can put hundreds and thousands on it, and we can fill it with chocolate, or we can cover it with chocolate, and all sorts of things we can use to cover it. But you know what the problem is? It doesn't matter what all these fancy and sugar-coated things are that we fill the donut with. We never fill the hole. There always remains a gap. And nothing that we try and put around it or on it actually fills that gap. See, we do all those sorts of things and we try this to fill this gap inside of us. And this hole, like that the donut has a hole in it, we try and fill that hole inside of us. And I always call it my BC days. And my BC days is before I actually met Christ. I knew about Him. And I grew up as in a Christian church and a Christian home. And my dad he loved the Lord with his whole life. But you see, it's that old age-old story that says, you know, you can sit in the garage for the whole life. It doesn't make you a car. And I was in church and I was in a Christian home and I was sitting there and I was listening to my dad and I watched the example that my dad gave, but it didn't really give me a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you see, I thought I knew who Yeshua was. I thought I knew who the Messiah was, but I never knew him. And in my BC days, before I had a proper relationship with him, I tried to do the same things. I tried to fill this hole that I had inside of me. And to me, it felt like I had a void. Something was completely missing out of my life. And I felt that I needed to fill it all the time. You see, it was something that I was missing. And I just couldn't put my finger on it. And I don't know how you feel this morning. And sometimes, and maybe you feel this morning, that you've got a hole or a void inside of you that you don't know how to fill. And something is forever pushing you and pushing you and pushing you. And you can't seem to fill and be satisfied. See, I needed something to satisfy this hunger that I had inside of my body, inside of my heart, and inside of my soul. And guess where I started? And you're probably right. Because I started to fill this gap or this hole or this void that I had inside of me with whatever it was that this world could offer us. And I don't know if you've been or is in that same situation, that we look towards this world and we try and fill this gap with whatever the world offers us. And I tried almost everything that was available out there, I can promise you. You can ask Sonia. But sadly, you know, we have all done this, or we are all trying to do this. We try to fill this gap with business, with our family, and with sport, and all sorts of other things. Or maybe you do like I tried to do, and I tried to do and fill this gap in my life, and I tried the occult, and I tried alternative healing methods, and I was studying alien life, and I was studying Egyptology and the Kabbalah, and all sorts of things, and I tried to also fill it with work, and with sport, with new cars, with motorbikes, and all sorts of things, with little gadgets and toys and everything that I could lay my hands on. And I had a friend, I still have the friend, he's actually a very good friend of mine, but back in those days, in my BC days, Paul and I used to say something. We used to say that he who has the most toys when he dies wins. Sadly, it's not true. Because it doesn't matter how many toys and how many things you accumulate. If you don't fill that gap with the right things, you will die forever. You see, I was a busy man. And as soon as I mastered something and I got involved in all sorts of things, scuba diving and triathlons and all sorts of things like that. And as soon as I mastered something, it wasn't good enough because it didn't fill the hole. And then I went on to the next thing, and 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 the next thing. But sadly, none of these things filled the gap that I had inside of me. Never filled this hole. You see, these things keep us happy and satisfied for a short period of time. But then it just isn't good enough anymore. And we'd look for something else to fill that hole with. See, but the reason why these things don't fill the gap is because they are all temporary. None of these things are eternal. They all cease to exist at some point in time. And then they are not good enough anymore and they don't fill this gap anymore. See, it is important that we guard our hearts and be careful of what we try to fill this gap with. Jeremiah 17 verse 9 to 10 says something that is actually shocking if we read it carefully. And he says, the heart is deceitful above all things. The heart is deceitful above all things, and it is incurable. In other words, what is he saying? Out of ourselves, we cannot cure our hearts. And he says, who can know it? Who can actually know the heart? Who can actually know what's going on in our thought process? Because the heart is always related to our thought process. And then God speaks and he says, I, Jehovah, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. And what are we reading in Jeremiah here? What is God saying? He says, whatever is in your heart, I will allow that to happen and to play out in full. But you have to be careful of what you fill your heart with. You've got to be careful of what you actually put into your hearts, what you try and fill that gap with. And then he talks about the fruit of our doings, and what are the fruit of our doings. It is all the things we try to fill this gap in our hearts with. It's all the things we get involved in, all the little things we try. You see, if we fill it with the wrong things and the things that are temporary, it will determine the results of our lives and what the eventual outcome of our lives would actually be. But if we fill the gap with that which is eternal, then the results of our lives would also be eternal. Eternal with God, eternal with Yeshua. And Solomon actually wrote something very similar to what Jeremiah wrote here. And in Ecclesiastes 9 verse 3, he writes, he says, "This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event to all." He says, all these things that we do as human beings, there's one event that will be exactly the same for all of us if we continue to live in this world and we continue to fill this gap with worldly things. He says that there is one event to all. Yes, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil and madness is in their heart while they are alive and after they go to those who died. In other words, if we keep ourselves busy with the wrong things, we will enter into eternal death. We will not be able to live eternally with Jesus Christ. And even Paul echoed what Jeremiah was saying when he said to the Romans in Romans 1 verse 24, "Because of this, God gave them up to impurity in the lusts of their hearts, their bodies to be dishonored among themselves." The moment we get involved with the wrong things, the moment we try and fill our hearts and fill out this gap in our hearts with the wrong things, the only thing that God can do is allow us to go the path that we have actually selected and the path that we have picked for ourselves. You see, we can try to fill this gap with all the worldly things and all the worldly lusts. And these things will never be able to fill the gap because they have the wrong shape. Now what I can do with this donut, I've got a little square here, and I can try and fill the hole with a square. But all it does is it covers the hole. Doesn't matter which side I try it on, it only covers the hole, but it never fills it because the gap still remains. Even if I try and attach something that doesn't belong in there, it feels that I'm satisfied and it feels like it fills the hole, but it doesn't. It only covers the hole, but the hole is still there. And afterwards, I'm not satisfied anymore because the gap still remains. You see, the other thing that I can do is I can try and fill this hole with another piece of donut. And if I had a nice round piece of donut, I can try and fill it, but it goes in the inside. And I don't know if you can see it. There's a huge gap still remaining. You see, and even when this donut comes from the same product, the problem that I have is because it is so limited, it doesn't completely fill the gap. And I relate this to Christians that Johan calls it bekeer en parkeer. They accept Jesus Christ and that's it. They don't do anything. They don't improve their lives. They don't live in the fruit of the Spirit. They don't even live in the gifts of the Spirit. And they think this is good enough, but it never satisfies them. And they still go back to the world and they try and fill the rest of this with what the world has to offer. And that's why we have Christians getting involved in yoga and Pilates and all sorts of occultic things. And it never, ever fills the hole completely. See, the other thing we can do is we can take all the things that the world offers and it's very colorful. And we can try and use these things and we put it in there. But also the same thing applies because when we put it into the hole, it only fills part of the hole and there's still a big portion of that hole that is missing and still remains a gap. You see, this is when we try all sorts of other religions and we become people that says all roads lead to Rome. And we now have Christians that tell us that one of the things that we can do is, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a Hindu or a Muslim or a Buddhist, it all leads to God. See, but it doesn't. Because I don't know about your Bible, but my Bible says that there's only one way that we can get to the Abba Father, and that's through Yeshua. But because He is the truth, the life, and the way. And unless we have Him, we will never be able to fill that gap in our hearts, and it will always remain an open space to try and fill it. See, all of these things are in the wrong shape. I can try everything else to fill this hole in my soul, in this hole in my heart, but it will never amount to anything because I will never be satisfied. And why is it that we keep on having this urge or this desire to fill this gap or this void that we have in our hearts? There once was a man by the name of Blaise Pascal. Blaise Pascal lived in the 1600s. He was an interesting gentleman. He was a mathematician, a physicist, a writer, and he was a Christian. And Blaise Pascal wrote something in one of his books, and it was Penzias is the book. It's a book called, and in 1670 this book was published. And he wrote this phrase in this book, and I want to read this to you. And listen carefully to what Blaise said. He said, "What else does this craving and this helplessness proclaim but that there was once in a man a true happiness of which all that now remains is the empty print and trace? This he tries in vain to fill with everything around him, seeking in things that are not there the help he cannot find in those that are. Though none can help, since this infinite abyss can be filled only with an infinite and immutable object, in other words, by God Himself." Isn't that amazing? What is He trying to say to us? He says that the gap we have in our hearts is the absence of the joy and the contentment that God placed in our hearts when He created us. But what did we do as man? We have tried to replace it with the worldly things and therefore created this void and this gap in our hearts ourselves. It is of our own doing. Because originally God placed the joy and the contentment that He is and who He is in our hearts. And it's because we were trying every single thing that this world has to offer that we created this void and we don't live according to God's wishes and according to God's will. You see, it is only when we fill the gap with Yeshua and the Word of God that we become content and have joy in our hearts. Because that is the only thing that is in the right shape to place into this hole that is in our hearts and in our souls. Nothing else will satisfy your soul. Nothing else can fill the gap. It is only Yahweh that can fill the void, and He does it through His Son, through His Word, and through His Holy Spirit. And once you fill this gap with Him, all the other worldly things that we have and all the other worldly things that exist becomes completely unimportant. So how then do we protect and guard our hearts? Let us go back to that scripture that I read earlier in Proverbs 4. But we'll look a little bit deeper and a little bit further into that scripture and see what the instructions are that Solomon has given us to allow us to guard our hearts. So Proverbs 4 verse 23 to 27, and I want you to focus on this because there are four definite things that he tells us that we need to do to protect our hearts. He says, keep your hearts, protect your hearts, guard your hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Turn away from you the crooked mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and let your eyelids look straight before you. Study the track of your feet, then all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right hand or to the left. Turn your foot aside from evil. And that is what we're supposed to do, to guard our hearts. And if I look a little bit further into these four basic things that Solomon shares with us here, we'll see what we need to do. If we focus diligently on these four things, then we will be able to fill the gap in our hearts with God. And the first one we see here is guard your thoughts. Well, it says guard your heart. But you know what's interesting about this word heart in the Old Testament? In the Old Testament, the word heart is used more than 800 times. And 200 times it actually refers to your thought life and your emotions. So these two things are connected. Your heart, your thought life, your emotions are all connected. So when the word talks about your heart, it's not only your physical heart, but it also talks about your will, your intellect, your emotion, your thought process. You see, your thought life controls the rest of your life. Because whatever goes on in your thought life determines where your life is going to go and where your life is going to end up. And Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so he is." And he talks about us as people, as men, as human beings, and as women. So as you think in your heart, as your thought processes are, so you will become. That is what determines who you are and what your life is going to be. And what thoughts process or what thought processes do you have in your life? Are we thinking of the pure and wonderful things of God? Or do we have other things in our minds, other things in our thought process that will determine the outcome of our lives? You see, because this is so important, and because it will determine our destination, we have to renew our minds every day. We have to capture our thoughts to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And listen, just listen here how Paul describes this process. In 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4 to 6, he says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." I just want to stop there for a moment. And sometimes these thought processes that we have are strongholds in our lives, and we can't seem to think beyond them. And they control everything that we do. And he says, "Pulling down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ, and having readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." And he says the only way that we can change our lives and the only way that we can change our thought processes, number one, is if we capture it into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And we need to become obedient to Christ and to the word of the Lord. See, we have to guard our hearts and we have to guard our thoughts, whatever we are thinking about. The second thing that we read in that scripture is, guard what comes out of your mouth. Sure, I don't know about you, but our mouths are terrible things. The word says that the tongue is like a rudder. It's a small little thing, but it steers the entire ship. And isn't it amazing? You get these huge ships, and they've got this little rudder that determines the direction of where it's going. And that is the same with our mouths. You see, Jesus tells us about the words that come out of our mouths. He says in Matthew 12:34, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So whatever is in your heart, whatever you fill this gap with, that is what is going to come out of your mouth. Your mouth and your heart and your thoughts are all connected. Just as Yeshua was the physical manifestation of the Word of God on earth, so are the words that we speak a physical manifestation of what is going on in our hearts and who we are. Because what flows out of your mouth determines who you are. Because that is what is in your hearts, and that is what Yeshua said to us. That out of the abundance of the heart, or what is in the heart, flows the words that we speak. Proverbs 18 verse 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it shall eat the fruit of it." In other words, if we love what we talk about, that will be the fruit that we bear. But that will also determine the outcome of our lives. And we have to start guarding what we're actually speaking. We have to guard what flows out of our mouths. And sometimes what we need to do is we need to sit down and reflect on the words that come out of our mouths, because the word that comes out of your mouths are exactly what is going on in your heart and in your thought process. And so many times we hear people say, "I'm a child of God," but when those words come out, he sounds like that he swallowed the devil. And we've got to be careful what comes out of our mouths. It is important that we guard what we speak. The third one says, guard what you set your eyes upon and what you look at. You see, whatever you look at and take in through your eyes will affect your thoughts and will affect the condition of your heart. It will determine your destination. You see, what do we need to do? Our eyes need to be focused on Yeshua. Our eyes need to be focused on Abba Father. Our eyes need to be focused on the Holy Spirit and on the Word of God. That's where our focus needs to be. Our focus shouldn't be on what is going on in the world. You see, we need to be careful what we read. We need to be careful what we watch on television. We need to be careful what we watch in the movies. We actually need to be careful when we walk around town where our eyes are going and what we're looking at. Because that will determine our thought process. Because everything that you see, your eyes take it in. It becomes part of you. It becomes part of your heart. And whatever you look at will start to fill this gap. Or try to fill this gap. You know what's amazing? I don't know if you know this, but the most addictive drug in the world is called heroin. It is the most addictive drug that you can take. Do you know what the second most addictive drug is to heroin? It's called pornography. Pornography is the second most addictive drug in this world today. The problem with pornography is that if you speak to the people who use heroin, they say that it is easier to get rid of heroin, to the addiction of heroin, than to get rid of the addiction to pornography. Do you know why that is? It's because heroin doesn't leave a picture in your mind. That's why we have to guard what we look at. Because what happens when we look at the pornography, it puts a picture in our minds and we can try and get rid of pornography, but it does not remove the picture from your mind. And that picture will, if you don't capture your thoughts into captivity to the Word and obedience to Jesus Christ, I can guarantee you that those pictures will bring you down again and again and again and again. That is why God says any sexual sin that you do, you sin against your own body. And the reason why you do that is because it grafts that picture in your mind. And you can't get rid of it. And that is why pornography is so dangerous. And that is why Satan is bringing in pornography at every single level of our lives. In the movies, on television, in the books that we read, the magazines that are on the stands, on your telephone, on the internet, everywhere you can think of, he puts pornography. And the sad thing is do you know what the age group is, the most people that are get addictive to pornography? Do you know the age group of that? Between 11 and 17 years old. 11. And he captures our mind at a young age and he places a picture in our minds that does not exist in reality. And when we grow up, we can't get rid of this. We can't get this picture out of our minds because we have set our eyes on the worldly things instead of setting our eyes on the things of God. And that is the danger of looking at things, and that we need to guard what we actually look at. You see, we need to be careful what our vision for our lives are. In Matthew 6, 22 to 23, Jesus says, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if your eye is sound, your whole body shall be full of light. But if your eye is evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. And if therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And that is absolutely amazing. And what is he saying? He says everything that flows through your eyes, everything that you look at, will either determine whether your life will have carry the light of Jesus Christ or the darkness of Satan. And I think of the three that I'm mentioning now, I think your eyes are probably one of the most important things. Because everything that goes on in your thought process, everything that goes on in your heart, comes through your eyes. What we see and what we hear. And when Jesus talks about this light of the body, the eye, and he talks about when the eye is good or when the eye is full of light, it also shows generosity. He says, generous people has the light of Christ within them. Stingy people will have has the darkness. You see, what is your vision for your life? What is your vision for your family? What is your vision for your business? And what is your vision for your destiny? Is it in line with the Word of God? Or have you been sucked into the vision of this world? Or are we going to be like a Joshua that said, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? He only had one destination. He only had one vision for his family. That's to live in the will of the Lord. My question this morning is, what is your vision for yourself, for your family, for everything that you do? The fourth one is guard the direction of where you are going. What is your destination? There once was a joke that said that half of the ministers of a certain denomination are going eventually goes to Pretoria, and the other half go to heaven. What does that imply? You see, it implies that our destination is determined by what goes on in our hearts. Our destination is determined by the path that I'm busy going on. And if our destination is determined by pride and by success, it will destroy us. But if it's determined by the will of God, we will enter into eternity with Jesus Christ. So what is driving you? What path are you following? Because David writes in Psalm 119 verse 105, and I think that Psalm 119 is one of my favorite psalms, and I'll tell you the reason for it. It's not because it's so long. You might think because I sometimes speak for a long time. No, it's not because it's such a long psalm. Do you know what Psalm 119 is all about? David sings the praises of the law of God. And that whole psalm is focused on God's word and God's law. But listen what he writes in verse 105. He says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word. And when you go read that in Hebrew, it says, your Torah is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And what is David saying here? David is saying that his destination and the path that he is on is determined by the word of God. Regardless of what this world is actually saying, regardless of what this world is offering, he will only go where God's word is leading him. You see, he is en route to God's destination for his life. And I think we need to reflect on where we are on route to. We need to reflect the path that we are on. Because I can tell you now that the path that you are on will take you to a destination. Not your intent, but the path that you're on. You see, I can be on a path to in a certain direction, but I actually intend to go the other way. But I will not go the other way unless I turn around from that path and actually head into the direction that path is leading me. And only the word of God can determine your path and where you are going. So what does God offer us to fill this gap with in our hearts? See, we need a proper filling. See, unless we take a proper filling and we put it into this hole, and I specifically selected white because that's the purity of God's word, and only when I select the right filling will it fill the hole completely. It's only when we turn to Yeshua, and it's only when we turn to his word that we can fill that hole and fill that gap completely. See, it is only when we have the perfect fit that we will be satisfied completely and be content and be filled with joy. But we need to have the right shape to fill that hole. And there are a few things, and I selected only four this morning. There are many more, and you can go and you can look at what those things are that God fills our hearts with. But I'm going to show you four this morning. And the first is God fills our hearts with eternity. And when I read the scripture, I must tell you, it's Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11. And when I read the scripture, it suddenly dawned on me how important the scripture is. And let me read it to you. It says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has set eternity in their heart. So what is it saying? It says, from the start, God places eternity, this eternal life with Jesus Christ, this eternal life that we will have with the Messiah, this eternal life living as the bride of Christ, He has placed in our hearts. And then He says, without which man cannot find out the work that God makes from the beginning even to the end. Wow. You see, God places this eternity in our hearts. And once we take this eternity and we fill this gap with this eternity, which is Yeshua, which is His Word, and which is His Holy Spirit, unless we have that in us, we will not be able to understand God's creation. We will not be able to understand the work that God has done from beginning to eternity. And therefore, we get people who say that the Word of God is foolish because they don't have the right fitting in their hearts, because they live by the incorrect shape, because it is only God that will be able to fill our hearts with eternity. The second thing that he talks about is, it says, God fills our heart with love and with hope. And when we read Romans 5 verse 5, it says, and the hope does not put us to shame, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. How amazing, because the moment we accept Jesus Christ in our lives, and the moment that we do that, we are filled by the Holy Spirit, and the moment we are filled by the Holy Spirit, we receive hope, and we receive love. And the hope that we have is that everybody will experience the love of Jesus Christ that He pours into us, so that they can also have eternal life with Him. See, love and hope are the two most important ingredients of our faith, because without love, we have nothing. And if you go and read what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, when he talks about love and he describes love, and he says, if I have all these things, if I have all the gifts that they are possible, if I speak in the languages of angels and in all the languages of the world, if I don't have love, it means absolutely nothing. So we need to fill our hearts with love first. And with the love of Christ. Not of what we think is love. And the world tells us that love is actually lust, which is the worst thing that you can actually think of, because lust is definitely not love. But we need to fill our hearts. We need to fill that gap with His love. The third thing is God fills our hearts with patience. Now, when I talk about patience, it's not patience alone that I'm referring to. I'm just using patience as one of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. Because Jesus fills our lives with the fruit of the Spirit, but specifically with patience. You see, in 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 5 says, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Am I glad He's got patience with us? Because if it wasn't true, we would be completely lost. See, if He didn't have patience, He would have come to fetch His bride a long time ago. But because of the patience that He has with us, He's giving each person on this earth a chance to turn to Him. Do you have a problem with patience? Who has a problem with patience? Don't put up your arm. Okay, if you want to. I like your honesty. But if you have a problem with patience, and you know what I hear sometimes what people say, is they say, I don't have any patience. Well, here's the problem. If you say you don't have any patience, it means that you don't have Christ in your heart. Because He is the one that pours out the patience into your heart. Well, I've even heard some people say, I was the last in the row when they dished out patience. No, it's impossible. Because Jesus fills everybody's heart in exactly the same way. When Yeshua fills your heart, He doesn't do it just partially. He does it completely. And when he fills your heart completely, he also fills it with patience. See, the patience doesn't come from you. You just need to listen and obey what God has put in your heart. And once you start to listen and obey to what God has put in your heart, you will start to develop the patience which Jesus put into you. You will start to develop all the fruits of the Spirit that He has put into your life, into your heart, and that He's filling that gap in your heart with. The fourth thing I want to touch on is God fills our hearts with His awesome Word. This is one of the most important verses in the Bible to me personally. And this verse comes out of Hebrews 8 verse 10. And it says, "Because this is the covenant which I will covenant with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord, giving my laws into their mind, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." God's word needs to be in our hearts. We need to fill our hearts. We need to fill that gap with God's word. And this is quite interesting, and I've mentioned this verse to some people, and they say, no, that's not to us, it's only to the house of Israel. You see, because if you read that, it says, because this is the covenant which I will covenant with the house of Israel in those after those days, giving my laws into their mind, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Here's the problem that we have, because the Word of God tells us that if we are in Christ, we become seed of Abraham. See, in one of Abraham's sons, through his son Isaac, was a man by the name of Jacob. And God changed his name to Israel. And if we become seed of Abraham, we become seed of one of his sons or his grandson, Jacob. And once we become that, we become part of the house of Israel. Because we, through the seed of Christ, through the blood of Christ, become part of God's people. And therefore, that verse applies to me as well, and that He will write His laws into my mind, and He will write them into my heart. You see, God's word needs to become part of our DNA. It needs to become our life. It needs to be in our hearts. It needs to be in our minds. It needs to flow out of our mouths and determine the path to our destination. That is what His word needs to be. Abba's word is Yeshua. His word is Jesus Christ. And when our hearts are filled with His word, it also means that we are filled with Yeshua. That is why Paul said, when he says, "It is no longer I who live, but Jesus Christ who lives in me." And why is he saying that? He said that because the word of God was completely and fully written on his heart. And that's why he no longer lives, but Christ lives in him. The Word of God, the physical manifestation of the Word of God, who is Yeshua, was living in his heart. You see, Paul was somebody who filled his heart and who filled the gap with the right thing. You see, when our hearts are filled with his Word, it also means that we are filled with Yeshua, with his character, and we will become his character. We need to be fully sold out to him. And that is how we will live in victory. That is how we will be able to overcome, if we live according to the Word of God. See, then we don't have to mind the gap, because the gap would be completely filled with Him. And then there is no gap to mind. And then we can live by Solomon's conclusion in Ecclesiastes, when he writes in Ecclesiastes 12 verse 13, he said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this applies to every man." He says everything, and when you go through the book of Ecclesiastes and you read all these things, he says everything is in vain. But the only thing that is true for every single person on earth is to fear God and be obedient to His word. How do you fill your gap? Are you minding the gap in your heart, in your life, in your thoughts, what you look at, what you see? Let me tell you, when we start filling it with the Word of God and we start filling it with Yeshua, and we have Him as our vision, and if we have Him to lead us in the right direction, we don't have to do that anymore. I want to end this morning with a song. I will read the words of the song to you first, and then I want you to listen to the song. And then after that, we will worship together. And after the worship, I will end off with a prayer. But let's listen to the words that this person wrote. She says, "Every point of view has another angle, and every angle has its merit. But it all comes down to faith. That's the way I see it. You can say that love is not divine, and you can say that life is not eternal. All we have is now, but I don't believe it. There's a God-shaped hole in all of us, and the restless soul is searching. There's a God-shaped hole in all of us, and it's a void only He can fill. Does the world seem gray with empty longing, wearing every shade of cynical? And do you ever feel that there is something missing? There's a God-shaped hole in all of us, and the restless soul is searching. There's a God-shaped hole in all of us, and it's a void only He can fill. That is my point of view." And I thank You, Abba Father, that You have made this known to us. And I ask You, Lord, that You will help each and every one of us so that our vision, our focus, our eyes are set on You and on Your Word. And that we will fill the gap in our hearts with You only. And that we will not try and fill it with what this world has to offer, but that our focus will be entirely on You and You alone. I ask You that You will be with each one of us, and that You will guide us and You will lead us. In the name of Yeshua, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.